Okay, today is Daf Chof Tes Mesechtam. I do not know how you refer to this Mesechta Tamid, but it's not Daf Chofes and Tamid because we're only a few days into Tamid. Okay, but today is what we'll call Chof Tes Mesechta Tamid. That is today's Daf, if I'm not mistaken, correct? I'd like to speak about the topic of Havoy, or guzma, exaggerations in the Talmud. So let's begin by going through the Gemara very quickly, just a few lines of Gemara. The Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Yanai bar Nachmeni Omar Shmuel b'shloishim b'koymos dibri chacham b'loshon havai. There are three places, that's it, three. Doesn't mean three, it means there are only three mishnayos. Exaggerations, the Chazal are full of exaggerations. Havoy, but in there are three Mishnayos where there is a mention of exaggerations. The Elohim, here are the following three exaggerations. Tapuach. Tapuach means literally an apple. Well, it means a mound, for our purpose, the mound of ash on the Mizbeach. We'll discuss in a few more detail. Gefen, the vine. And Uparoches, and the Paroches, the curtain which separated, it's not clear which Paroches, but let's learn, since the Paroches separated the entering the Ulam, which was 40 amos tall by 20 amos wide. We'll see in more detail in a few moments. These are the three places, the three instances in Mishnayos where Chazal have given numbers that are inflated. That are, these, their statements are exaggerations. The Afukei Midrav, why do we mention the number three? Every time there is a very specific mention of a number, we're coming to exclude something. What are we coming to exclude? Midrav, Datan, Hishku es Hatamid b'Koyshel Zohav. Every morning when they offer, or every morning after when they slaughter the carbon tamid, you have to give the animal to drink for different reasons, in order to that it should be easy to flay the animal. There's moisture in the system of the animal, so it's very easy to remove the hide. Or it makes the animal halachically, the kashrus issues become less of an issue. That's not really relative to the to the Talmud, because the Talmud, anyway, they didn't do bedikus, not, or they're dealing with the sheep, and sheep, they don't have the problems that other animals have, but it was given to drink, and it says here in the Mishnah that it was given to drink in a koshel zoh. That's our Mishnah here in Mesechta Talmud. In a utensil of gold. Animal needs to drink from gold. Animal knows the difference between plastic and gold. Has to drink in a gold utensil. It's an exaggeration. The Omar Rava Guzma. Rava said it's an exaggeration. Kamash Milan. Here Rabbi Yanai by Nachmeni, the fact that he only mentioned three and three and not four, he's coming to reject the halacha of this mission. It's not true. They did not give the Talmud to drink in a gold utensil. Fine, Kamash Milan. Honey in, Hasam Lo, because that there, honey in, Hasam Lo. Ain, Anigas, Mukamashus, Elamaman disagrees. No, they did give it because that's how things are done in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, we don't have to go into details of that statement, it's taken out, whatever it is, let's leave that. Now the Gemara elaborates in much more detail. Tapuach. What is the exaggeration that was taught in reference to the mound of ash on the Mizbeach? Hadamar, that we learned in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, I'll just tell you very quickly, when it goes through details, that there were 300 kor. It's a measurement, we'll describe the measurement in a moment, of ash that was piled on the surface of the Mizbeach. That is an enormous, we don't need to know the measurement, but it is an enormous amount of ash, and the Gemara says, impossible. Never happened that there was so much ash that would fill a measure of 300 kor. 300 kor is 9,000 saw. We'll try to put in some terms in a few moments. Never happened. It's an exaggeration. That's number one. Number two, Geffen. What's the vine? The Tanya, the Braisa. Geffen, Zov, Hoysel, Medes, Alpesachechel, Mudle, Algabi, Kulun, Sos. There was a golden vine, some design, some ornament that was made in the image of a vine that adorned the entrance to the Hechel. As you come into the Beis HaMikdash, you enter the Azara. From the Azara, you go into the Ulam. And from the Ulam, you go into the Heichal. Along the entrance of the Heichal were these poles. And on these poles was what looked to be a gold, was a vine. It was a gold vine. And on this vine is where people would deposit donations to the Beis HaMikdash. person would come up, enter the ulam, into the heichal, and would bring a gold coin or a piece of gold that was fashioned in the shape of a leaf or a berry, and would put it on the vine. Zav the heisa medes al gepesach heichal ubud lagabi klunzos v'chol mishem esnadif olo a leaf, a gargi or a berry, a eshu a cluster. Navy, he would bring this gold the toilet bar and would hang it on this vine. Amar Rabbi Laza, what's the exaggeration, Rabbi Tzadik? Ma'isa haya, it once happened. V'nimnu alecha shalosh meos kohanim lefanosa. It took 300 kohanim to remove the donations. Every so often they would empty the pushka, they would take off the gold that was resting on this vine. It took 300. It was never happened that there was so many people who gave donations that you needed 300 kohanim to remove, to retrieve, to empty the vine. It's an exaggeration. Fine. What's the third case? Parochas. The third example is the parochas. Satan. Rabbi Shimon Gmuloimer, Rabbi Shimon Mehakoin, parochas al ovyo tefach al shiv v'shnaim nimen neregis, was made from 72 threads. The kol nima v'nima eshim v'arba chutin, each thread was made up of 24 threads. We don't need this part for an arucha. The length was 40 amma, v'rachba eshem amma, u'mishmanim mishtayim ribo nas. It was made from 82, question what it means, 82 women, young maidens, or 82,000, the value, different interpretations of how much it costs to produce this paroches. U'shtayim oisim v'chol shon, they would fashion two of these curtains a year. V'sholosh meos koyhanem matbilin oisa. And every so often, this paroches would become tame. This happened in Yom Tov, the Regalim, when it was a free-for-all. Anyone who wanted to come to the Beis HaMikdash, not everyone who came to the Beis HaMikdash was Tohar, knew the halachas of Tumah Tahara. And it always happened, it was inevitable that a person who was tame would touch the paroches, and that would cause the paroches to become tame. So when Yom Tov was over, they would toivel the paroches in the mikvah. That's one interpretation. Okay, there are other interpretations. Okay, whatever it was, the parochas became tamei. It needed to be immersed in the mikvah. How many kohanim participated in immersing the parochas in the mikvah? 300 kohanim. It's an exaggeration. A good mer. Okay. Now, before we go further, what does it mean? This is an aside. What does it mean a guzma? So I have over here, I think, six or seven interpretations for the word. We have two different words for the word guzma. Guzma is a term that's used in the Gemara, and we are Loshon Havai. Two different expressions. The Gemara that I quoted, it has the word Havai. Amar Rabbi Yanai, Bar Nachmeni, Amar Shmuel, B'Shloish, and Mekamos, Dibri, Chacham, B'Lashon, Havai. How do you translate Havai? Our article Gemara, I didn't look at it, it means, I guess, exaggeration, right? Havai.
Yeah.
Where does that word come from? Whoever heard of such a word before? Havai. The other word the Gemara uses is where the Gemara presents this discussion if the kois shel zav was used to water, to use as a source for the drink of the Talmud. Amar Rava guzma. There are two terms, guzma and havai. Where do these words come from? So one interpretation I saw, which I'm going to elaborate in much detail in a moment, from Rav Mordechai Kornfeld. Mordechai Kornfeld, he is the founder and the force behind the Daf Yomi Advancement Forum. He has chidush on the entire Shas. It's quite an accomplishment. And there he quotes from an individual whose name was Rav Solotskin. The Zerbi Talmud Chacham, and told him the guzma stands for gam zuma. When Chazal give exaggerations, it's not a pure exaggeration. There is chokhma in the exaggeration. There is precision. I'll explain in a moment.
Gam,
zoom, ma. Guzma. Guzma. Gam, zoom, ma. It's an exaggeration, but it's not just a number that has no meaning. Gam, also, zoo, this, ma. There is something. There's something to it. There's meaning, there's depth. There is... which I'll explain in a moment. That's one interpretation. I saw also from a medrash. Agodos Elio. I saw a lot of this, some of these things I'm telling you now, I saw from the Sefer Daf Al Hadaf. And there he quotes the Agodos Elio that says, guzma comes from the word in egos, a nut. Fascinating. That means, egos, a nut. And it means guzma, ma is short for mea, 100. What's a nut? Not as a small, little nothing. You make from one knot 100 knots. Guzma, me'egos echad. It's like a new chicken. From one knot, you make 100 knots. That's what the expression means. Guzma, one egos. One knot turns into 100 knots. Make a big thing out of nothing. Okay, fine. Sefer HaTashvi, this is a famous Sefer. He says, he quotes the pasuk, we just learned this. We learned this pasuk in Yeshaya on Friday. Would you believe the Hashgacha Pratis? On Perek Lame test, I took the wrong Yeshaya. I need the Yeshaya that has the Targum. We were getting Yeshaya that has the Targum. Yeshaya, Perek, Lamed, Beis, Pasuk, Yud, Gimel. Okay, I'll do the next one. Lamed, Beis, Yud, Gimel. This is the pasuk. You're worshipping idols. What's this boma that you are boim sham? Now boma means you're coming. You're coming. What are you coming to this boma? Now the targum on Nevi'im is the targum Yonasan ben Uziel. We don't have targum Unkelus on Nevi'im. We only have targum Yonasan ben Uziel. That's the same targum. And if you know targum Yonasan ben Uziel, it's beautiful because he adds. It's not targum Unkelus. It's very, very bare. Mm-hmm. I mean, not, there's a lot of chidushin. Don't get me wrong. There's a ton of chidushin in the nuances of Targum Unkelus. But Targum Yonasan ben Uziel doesn't apologize. Doesn't hide things. He's out in the open. He adds in sentences and paragraphs which are not in the pasuk. That's Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. And in the Nevi'im, it's unfortunate. I don't really go through it. And I do another. I should really should. It's incredible stuff. It's hard for me because I don't know the language and it needs a parish. I need a parish. But here he adds in a word. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. The word that you're coming means osa, right? You're coming. Mm-hmm. What is this mishigas? You're coming to the Bama to offer a sacrifice to an idol? What are you crazy? What is this? You come. He adds a word. The amores lohoin. I said to them, mo v'mosa. What is this Bama? De atun osa. Okay, you would stop there if you were translating the word lily. Le'ish te ta'a sama. You must have lived in the 21st century. You're coming to, what's this nar, this foolishness? This narishkeit, this shtus. What is this boma that you're coming to perform this shtus, this foolishness? And the word is, also, le'ish te ta'a saman. To ishtato. That is the targum for the word haboim. The targum, Yonasan ben Uziel, who's elaborate, who injects commentary into the word. What is this bama? Haboim. What's haboim? You're coming to do something foolish. Shtus. Havoi is referring to that word haboim. Havoi are the same letters, the same shurish as havoi, haboim. And we're now referring to the word coming. We're assuming that you're bucking muflung in targum. And you'll know, when we say the word havoi, you'll know the word that we're referring to, also le'ishtata, you're coming to do something foolish. When you say the number 300, it's a foolish statement. Because no way were there 300 kohanim needed to dip the parochas, which could have been done by 2 or 3 kohanim. No way do they need 300 kohanim to take the donations off the mish. So it's a trigger, havoim, havoi, haboim, to refer to Yechezkel also l'ishtata shtus. Beautiful interpretation. In Yeshaya, now this is the other way around. Yeshaya, we have a pasuk in Perek Lamed Beis. Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Yud Gimel. Let me find the pasuk, if I can quickly. Pasuk Yud Gimel, we have the other way around. We just learned this. We learned this on Friday. The pasuk says, "Al admas ami upon my nation, kots shamir taaleh, thorns and thistles will ascend." Kots, So we know that word, we've heard the word a million times. The thorn. What's the time for the word coats? Alarod yami huvai. The targum for the word coats is huvai. So here, it's not like the Tashmi says that the word havai is the Hebrew word. And the targum means shtus. The other way around. The targum for the word coats is havai. So it means, what is a guzma havai? It's a thorn. What is a thorn? Something that is totally insignificant. It's worthless. It's there's no meaning to this. 300 koyhanim havai. It's a coats. It's a thorn. That's a different connotation. Adrabe. It's a thorn in our eyes. It's something which is wrong, which is off the mark. Okay, so we have over here. So I just find that these two interpretations are the opposite degree spectrum. Either it's the Hebrew word, and we're looking at the targum for interpretation, or it's the targum of the Hebrew word. Another interpretation from Havai, from the Rami Pano, it's Rosh Tevos, Hine Baruch Hu Es Hashem. So Rosh Tevos, to mean, don't laugh. There's meaning here. That's what he is. The Rami Pano, he can't argue with the Rami Pano. Hine Baruch Hu Es Hashem, bless Hashem. There's another interpretation, which I don't know what it means, you have to look into this yourself, it's a Greek word. Guzma is a Greek word which means something, I don't know, I couldn't figure out what he was referring to, but there's some, a lot of words in Chazal are borrowed from Greek, and I
mean, gizmo.
Gizmo, so what does gizmo mean in Greek?
I don't know.
Okay, so that's something to check into, guzma is a Greek word. But we have over here, just to review very quickly, we have all the interpretations. Guzma gam zuma, it means a knot. From ego zmea, havai is a tag of the word coats. Or it means, it's mo haboma shatem, haboim shama, oson li ish toto, rami panu hine baruch es Hashem. Okay, fine. Different, each interpretation has a different nuance. Is it a coats? Is it shtus? Each, the whole different interpretation, how you look at that on a guzma. But there's a famous gra. This is what I really want to get to. There's a famous gra. He elaborates upon this at great length. I don't want to run out of time. I want to tell you a whole bunch of things about this, about different, which opens up a whole collection of ideas. The gra says that every guzma is, it's an exaggeration, maskim, but there's meaning. Going with the interpretation of gam zuma. Let's go one exim at a time. The parochas. How many kohanim will need to dip the parochas in the mikvah? 300 kohanim. How many? So how many? What were the dimensions of the parochas? 40 tall and 20 wide. So what is the perimeter of the parochas? 40 on the left, 40 on the right, 20 on top, and 20 on the bottom. So that's 120. How many tefachim are there in an amma? 5. Let's learn like the opinion that this amma shalkim, the amma of the utensils, were made from 5 tefachim. The parochas utensil, what's the biggest proof? It became tameh. The fact that the parochas was susceptible to tumah obviously tells us that the parochas utensil, something that's mechubal karka, a beam, is not susceptible to tumah. So the fact that the parochas needed to be immersed in the mikvah, it's a utensil. How many tefachim are there in the utensil? We pass in by the mandyama that says there were 5. So if there are, the perimeter of the parochas is equal to 120, 40 plus 40 plus 20 plus 20. The perimeter, 120, and there are 5 tefachim in amma, so what is 120 multiplied by 5? 600. How many hands does a person have? 2 hands. How large is a person's hand? What is a tefach? A tefach is a hand. Hand. So, how many hands can, if you, each person would take the parochas hand to hand, hands across the parochas, instead of hands across America, hands across the parochas, how many hands can you fit? 600 hands. How many people do you need to come up with 600 hands? 300. So it's true. 300 kohanim were needed to immerse the parochas in the mikvah. Now, did 300 kohanim actually immerse the parochas in the mikvah? I don't think so. Now, likely they would let 300 kohanim in one place at one time. The World War III will break out. So many people sitting together. But we understand this gam zuma. It's theoretically possible to go fit 300 kohanim. This is what the gra says. Var from the gra. Now, this gra has come under attack. come under very powerful, very strong attack for many reasons. First of all, maybe before I tell you, let me just tell you since the calculations. We're talking about, so let's finish this up. If we don't have time, we don't have time. But this is like a gross come under attack. Why has it come under attack? Because what's going on here? The paroches was used for the door, right? The door, and there's you're coming into the Beis Hamikdash, into the ulam, and there's a big paroches. It's 40 tall, 20 wide. The paroches is enclosing part of the structure of the mikdash. A utensil, the shulchan, the menorah, the mizbeach hazav, those were utensils. They were measured with an amma that has five tefachim. But every part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, the structure is measured in amos that have six tefachim. When you measure the dimensions of the ulam, it was 100 amos wide. That was 100 amos of six tefachim, not five tefachim. And being that the curtain is coming to close the door, which was measured in terms of amos that have six tefachim, so how many? So let's do the measurements all over again. It was 40 amos by 20 amos by 40 amos by 20. So 120. 120 amos. So 120 amos multiplied by 6 equals 720. 720, we need a lot more than, we need more than 300 koyhanim to immerse the parochas.
But if it's being treated as a utensil in the moment, it may be constructed as one of the structures of the base.
But it's not going to fit. It's not going to fit.
No, I'm saying it's constructed that way, but when it's being taken down to be used in the mikvah,
yeah,
maybe it's not. You see what I'm saying? Maybe that's,
but it is or it isn't. He's saying something very. You can't mean to say what I want to say in a moment. You're touching on what I want to say. But the mitzias. What is the take out a tape measure? The paroches is being used. The paroches is being used to enclose this area, which is 20 amos by 40 amos and 20 amos. But those 40 amos and 20 amos that you are referring to are amos of six tefachim. That means that this utensil was an exception. It had to be amos of six tefachim, which totals 720. It's a very good kasha. So he, Kornfeld, he says the answer. I don't. I have greatest respect for him, but I don't understand his answer. He says I have a solution. The solution is that when they immersed in the mikvah, they didn't hold the bottom, because you have to put it. So the bottom was not. So just calculate 40 by 20 by 40, which gives you 100. 100 times 6 is. It's 600. So just the kohanim didn't hold on because the bottom has to go into the mikvah. But the same way the bottom doesn't go into the mikvah, so the sides also don't go into the mikvah. That's what he wants to suggest, that they didn't hold it from the bottom. Okay, it's a very difficult question. Okay, now what are the answers given? So one answer I saw was something you were trying to say. What's your name?
Baruch.
Now, Baruch is trying to say this answer. He says, now it's a medrash. Now, I don't understand the medrash. The medrash totally baffles me. So let's just, that's what says in the medrash. The oro in the Bayis Rishon, how big was the oro? As far as I know, it was the urn of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? The urn of Moshe Rabbeinu was 1.5 by, was 2.5 by 1.5. It was small. What was the dimension? I forgot. The dimension.
2.5 by 1.5 by 1.5, right?
2.5 by 1.5 by the height. What was the?
It was 1.5 by 1.5 by 2.5, right?
2.5. 2.5 by 1.5 amps. Okay, it's very small. According to the Medrash, this is the Medrash. Okay, so don't take the Medrash. The Aron was 10 amos wide. New Aron. That's not what it says in Melachim. Melachim, it says it was the art of Moshe Rabbeinu, as far as I remember. I haven't learned that in a long time, but I think it was the art of Moshe Rabbeinu. I have to go check. The Medrash says, no. A new Aron! A massive Aron for the Luchos. Massive. It was 10 Amos. Shlomo Melech comes, he brings the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash, and the Aron doesn't, now this is a different parochah, this is a different entrance. This is the entrance going into the Kodesh HaKodashim, but we're going to borrow from there. He comes to bring it. It doesn't fit because the entrance to the Kodesh HaKadoshim is 10 amos wide, and the Aron that Shlomo HaMelech built is 10 amos wide. So 10 doesn't fit in 10. Right? Try to take 10 and fit. Yeah, doors exactly 10. Like they come, the movers come, and they want to get the piano, they want to get the refrigerator or the dryer, and it just doesn't fit. The dryer doesn't fit through this door, because the door is 10 amos, and the dryer is 10 amos, and 10 is not going to fit in 10. So what? So Shlomo HaMelech, he comes, doesn't go, stuck. Su sha'orim rasheichem v'hinasu pischei oilam. We're being mistal from Moivsev, right? And Simchas Torah, when we're doing the Sefer Torah, doesn't fit in the ark. How do they get so many Sefer Torah out of that one little ark? Doesn't fit. You ever said the safe to try to fashtub it and save all these Sefer Torah? Doesn't fit. So we need a Moifes. We need a Moifes to get in the Aron into the small 10 and 10. Miracle happened, it widened. Long comes, I don't remember who said, so this is Margolius Hashas. Another amazing piece of work. He says there, I don't know, he brings Likud. I don't remember the name we bring. I don't recognize these names. Chassidish, Rebbeslud, other Sfarim, I don't remember. But he says there in that Sefer, shame Gadol, what's the kasha? The Aron is a utensil. Small a utensil arm. Is 5 tzvach.
Right, small arm.
The door to the Kodesh HaKadoshim is 10 amos. But it's binyan. If it's binyan, it's 6 tefachim.
Yeah.
It's plenty of room.
Right.
This is 6 tefachim, this is 5 tefachim. So even though it's 10 and 10, it fits in. So what do you learn from this? Medrash, that the door is different. You learn from this that the entrance to the door, even though it's taka true, that when you do, which is very fascinating, you soaked what a door is all about. A door is a din of a kli. An opening is for the kalim. It's not for the binyan. It's a structure. Architect has a structural plans, the outside, you know, for the government. What's going on the outside? What's going on inside is not your business. Well, we're doing all the illegal activities that are taking place inside, that's not your business. The outside, oh, that's 6 tefachim. But the doorways, fascinating is so. The doorways are for the purpose of living. Kalim, you bring Kalim into a home. Unbelievable chiddush. The doorway is made, is calculated with the calculation of amos of 5 tefachim. Fast memela. That's why it doesn't fit. The aron's not going to fit in the door. Doesn't fit in the door. You need a miracle. Susha Mashiachim. The same way you say that you sort for the aron going to the Kodesh HaKadosh and the Zel B'Zach, the paroches on the door of the Heichal, 40 by 20. A doorway is for the purpose of bringing kalim into the Beis HaMikdash. Usage, utility. It's 5 tefachim. Oh, back in business. So now it's going to be 40 by 40, 20, of 5 tefachim, exactly 600 tefachim. 300 kehanim, we're back in business. Brilliant answer. Brilliant answer. Okay, another answer. Now, another answer, I want to say one more answer, is, okay, this is a little of a stretch, but the more, but I think there's some truth in this. This you really sort of Baruch was touching on is, who says they have to match? There were many miracles. There are many things about the Beis HaMikdash that don't make sense. Talk about the Aron. The Gemara says, if you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you measure the Aron from the front is 10, from the back is 10, from the side is 10. It's a cubicle. It's 20 by 20. So, and you go to the Aron, you measure the Aron, it's always 10. How could it be 10? The Aron itself takes up 2 by 2.5 by 1.5. Einu min hamida. Different set of rules. Oindim. The rules of measurements, there are a lot of examples. I don't have on the tip of my tongue all the there are a lot of things. The Teva, go look at the Teva. The whole Teva doesn't make any sense. Noach built a Teva. We memorize children, we accept it, we forget about it for the rest of our lives. It doesn't make sense. You cannot construct a Teva, follow the dimensions of the Torah and try to reconstruct the Teva. Take an architect today, an engineer, they'll tell you, no way, it just doesn't stim. It's not going to go. You're not going to fit all these animals. You can't even build a structure with these dimensions, 3 floors, and so on and so forth. Something is missing. You're right, it's missing. It has a different set of rules that we're not familiar with. What's so hard to believe for it to be? We think that the parochas, fit perfectly. Go buy a suit in the department store. It has to be tapered. It has to come exactly to this notch in your thumb, a little bit higher here, a little over there. It has to go this way and that way. That's not the way it was the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was a different set of rules. It could very well be. The opening was 20 by 40, in amos of 6 tefachim, And the parochas was a little smaller. A parochas is a utensil, and the parochas didn't go necessarily from end to end. It didn't go. You ever go to a shul? Not every parochas fits on the arm perfectly. Sometimes they're too big, sometimes they're too small. It doesn't go all the way down. It didn't go all the way down. It didn't go to the ends. Maybe that's how it's meant to be. That's how it's supposed to be. It's not necessarily a kasha that the parochas doesn't match. The rules of kelim relating to the binyan can operate on different planes, different levels. I want to so there's two ideas that answers a very good kasha. The Gra is brilliant. Guzma gam zuma. 300 kohanim. To review 300 kohanim doesn't get 600. Does so it's very good if you're dealing with five amos. Six amos doesn't work. A very good kasha. It's a binyan. It's six tefachim. Two answers. Two answers. Either the doors are different. We see from the medrash, or we can say that who says the two have to work? Each one can have its own rule. Does it fit? Or doesn't fit? It operates on a different set of rules. Okay, now, just then going a step back. So I saw also in the real time, yes, what's the guzma? The gra is so perfect. The gra is there, you need 600 kohanim. It's not a guzma. Yitzhak needs 600 kohanim to hold hands and to go. So what's the guzma? It's not even an exaggeration. It is an exaggeration. The corners. Because the corner, you can't have two kohanim. They collide. When you come to the corner, I'm holding the corner here on this side, so my hand takes up the whole corner. You can't put your hand here. The corner is accounted for. So those four corners, that's the guzma. You have kohanim all the way around, but the four are the guzma. Now, I'll give you two other examples. I want to tell you very quickly another one other idea. I know I'm running out of time, but very quickly, let's go to the other two examples. You need 300 kohanim. So Rav Kornfeld, I remember he brings this down. It's the same idea, a little bit different. 300 kohanim take off the gift from the vines, all of the donations. What were the dimensions of the Pesach of the Ulam? It was 20 by 10. The same exact thing. 20, 20, 10, 10. So what do we have?
60.
How many tefachim are there? How many tefachim are there? There are five. Let's assume. How many? This he says. There was the. The Geffen was 20. Right now, this was the binyan. Like the very this there was 20. No, 20, 20, 10, but not the bottom. Not you don't have to deal with the floor because the donations were draped around the entrance, not on the floor. You have the entrance to the heichal. It's 20 here, 20 here, 10 here. There's nothing on the floor because you're not going to put the donation on the floor. You put the donation along the mezuzah and the mashkef. So the mezuzah is 20, the mashkef is 10, 20, 20, 10 is 50. We're not dealing with a curtain, we're dealing with the binyan. Okay, this is a concept of the word. The binyan is 6 tefachim. So 6 times 50 is 300. How many kohanim will you need it? We need it to remove all the donations. You only when it comes to take, you don't take with two hands. That's a fresser. You don't take with two hands. You take with one hand. So when you only have one hand, so there are 300 tefachim along the two mezuzos, mezuzah 1, mezuzah 2, and the mashkoif, there are 300. Each coin, one hand takes one donation's worth off that. So it's also gam zuma. Okay, the last case is the mizbeach. This is brilliant. Let's go through the numbers very quickly. I'm not good with numbers, but let me just give you this idea. How many? Let's talk about a mikvah. A mikvah is how much? We know there are two calculations for a mikvah. A mikvah is three, Gemara says it's 3 cubic amos. A person takes up approximately 3 cubic amos. Chazal tells us to measure the mikvah, everyone knows, is 40 saw. So if we divide 40 by 3, what do we get? How much is a cubic amo? A cubic amo is 13.3. Okay, think it again. A mikvah is 40 saw. Everyone knows that. That's the smallest mikvah. 40 saw. A mikvah is also 3 cubic amos. So let's take 40 saw and divide it by 3. Each cubic amma is approximately 13.3 saw. That's the magic number. Cubic amma is 13.3 saw. Now,
cubic, cubic,
a cube.
An amma by an amma by an amma.
Right. I'm sorry. All right. Amma by an amma by an amma is 13.3. Mizbeach. What were the dimensions of the top of the Mizbeach? Going to make a long story short, where they actually compiled the ash, is 26 amos by 26 amos. Because take away the corners, take away the part where you walk, the part where you can pile the ash, 26. How high, by the way, did they pile up ash? Ishu chag ba'avosim ad karnos ha-mizbeach. The ash was never allowed to go more than one amo off the surface. One amo, 2 feet. Pasuk, ad karnos, until the corners. What was the surface area of the mizbeach? 26 by 26, which equals 676. Multiply 26 by 26, you get 676. 676 cubic cubes. Okay, cubic. But take away the center, because the center is where the fire is burning. So you're not allowed to have anything burning in the fire, because the center cube, is for the fire. So if we have 676 minus 1 cube, it's 675. Okay, you with me so far? Again, we have 26 to 26. You're not allowed to go higher than 1 amma. So 26 by 26 by times 1 is 676 minus the center cube where the fire is burning. Now, what did the Gemara say? How many saw of ash were removed from the Mizbeach? 300. How many? 300 core. I'm sorry, 300 core. 300 core. How many saw are there in a core? 30. So how many saw are there on the Mizbeach? 9,000. 300 times 30. There was 300 core. 300 times 30, because a core is 30. So 300 times 30 equals 9,000 saw. Now let's make those into cubic amos. We know that a cubic amos is 13.3. And we know that there are 9,000 saw of ash on the Mizbeach. Divide 9,000 by 13 by 3, and what do you get? 675. So theoretically, it's exact. The amount of, if it ever happened, no. They would never let the ash accumulate to such a degree where you had. But theoretically, the surface area where halachically you're allowed to have ash on the Mizbeach is exactly 675 saw, which is exactly 300 core, so gam zu ma. Fascinating. Okay, let me say one last point, and we're out of time. This will be worth it. It's a fascinating idea. Are you comfortable? Short idea. What's this number? 300. Every time Chazal give exaggerations, they're always using the magic number 300. Why 300? What's this number? You would think 400. If you want to go to the aleph base or the last letter, tough. 400. Why 300? So I once heard this vart from this idea from a very chashur person. His name was Rav Chaim Achover, Rav Chaim Victor. Zichron Levracha. I know the family, Dr. Victor, may he be well. Dr. David, many people here know Dr. David Victor from Borough Park. He's a very well known, very well chashur doctor. What? A very chashur doctor in Borough Park. He lives in the neighborhood. And his father was a chover of Chaim Victor Halevi. He told me a vart. We have this expression called acharon acharon chaviv. What does it mean, acharon acharon chaviv? So everyone, it means the last. The last is the most chaviv, most precious. So he told me that's not what it means. Chazal meant to say the last is the most chaviv, they would say acharon chaviv. Why does it say acharon acharon chaviv? They meant to say the second to last is the most chaviv. And at first I don't understand what this means, but over time it's true. The last is the most chaviv. The last ceremonial, go to graduations, the last day. But chaviv is a very different word, precious, meaningful. Chavivos is when, without all the fanfare, all the big lights and stage, So you're coming to the end of the real thing. Before you make the party, the second to the last, there's always confusion and everyone is partying and they're drunk and so on and so forth. There's too much merriment. The second to last, when you're getting down to the, that is what's chavif. And I found a raya to this. And this is very interesting. You can't just brush this off out of hand. In Parshas Vayishlach, Perek Lamed Gimel, I'm just about finished, don't worry, I'm winding down. And Vayishlach, where Yaakov is terrified to meet his brother Esav, and he sets up his children. So he sees his brother coming, Yaakov, so he has in front of him, he has the Shvachos. Here it says, Vayisa Yaakov Enav, Vayar, Perek Lamed Gimel, in Bereshis. V'ine Esav Ba, V'imo, Arba Meosish, 400. Okay, that's not, I didn't even notice, pay attention to that. What did he do? He divided everyone up. Aleiav, Yal Rachav, Yal Shtei Hashifachos. Then what did he do? Vayase Mes Hashifachos Ves Yaldehen Rishoyna. He first puts the Shvachos and their children first. And then he puts Ves Leia Viladelha Acharonim. Next comes Leia. And who's left and who's in the back? Who's the safest? Who's in the back? V'yes Rochel, v'yes Yosef acharonim. And what does Rashi say? Rashi says, why did he do it in this order? First the Shvachos, then Leah, then Rochel. Acharon, acharon, chaviv. Now, I always learned this, I think most people learn this, is that who's the most chaviv to Yaakov? Rochel. Rochel was one he wanted to marry. Yosef, that was chav. So they were the last. They were already at. Acharon, acharon, chaviv. What's interesting is that in the beginning of the pasuk, when it says Vayachatz es hayaladim, the order is there. You would think the order is the other way around, but there the order is: first comes Leah, Aleah, then comes Rachel, and then comes the Shtei Hashvachos. So you would expect the order in the beginning of the pasuk, when it divides, first should come Rachel, then Leah, and then the Shvachos. Why does it say Leah? Then it says. And then it says Rachel, then Sheshvachos. Okay, but the main point I want to make is when Rashi says Acharon, Acharon, Chav. Where would you think Rashi would say the words Acharon, Acharon, Chav on? On which, either the beginning or the end? But he takes the children. Vayasim Sheshvachos, Vyes Yaldehem Rishayna, Vyes Leah Vyoder Acharonim, Vyes Rachel Vyes Yosef Acharonim. You'd expect Rashi to comment Acharon, Acharon, Chav either on the beginning of the pasuk. Vayasem es hashvachos ves yaldim, or the end of the pasuk, ves Rochel ves Yosef. But you know where Rashi makes the comment? You have to look up the Rashi. Look up the Dibur Maskil is v'al Leia v'lodeha acharonim on the middle on Leia. Rashi on that Dibur Hamaskli writes acharon acharon chaviv. Leah, Rashi doesn't say the comment on Rachel. He doesn't say it on the Shvachos. He says it on Leah. Leah was the second to last. And that's where Rashi says, Acharon, Acharon, Chav. Because Acharon, Acharon means the last before the last.
Yeah.
Rachel, well, even though Yaakov wanted to marry Rachel, but Sof Kol Sof, who gave him all the Shvatim? Who gave him 6 Shvatim? Half of Klal Yisrael came from Leah. Leah was the chaviv. It could be that Rachel was the most ahuv. Rachel was the most choshev. But the one, and pasuk indicates that, because when the pasuk vayachatz, first it says Leah and her children. And Rashi makes the comment on acharon, acharon, chaviv on Leah, who was the second to last. So there's definitely something here. Acharon, acharon, chaviv does not necessarily mean the last, it means the second to last. What is the letter Shin? It's the second to last letter. When Chazal discussed Guzma, they're always discussing things that are Chaviv. They would Klal Yisrael, look at the donation, look how cherished the Beis HaMikdash is in the eyes of Klal Yisrael. An enormous amount of donations were given to the Beis HaMikdash. There were 300 Kohanim needed. When the 300 Kohanim came out carrying the gold, it showed the Chavivus that the Bnei Yisrael had for the Beis HaMikdash. When there was 300 core of ash on the Mizbeach, this revealed the Chavivus Klal Yisrael had to bring korbanos to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. When they would be toivled the paroiches, the chazivos of bringing tahara, the paroiches, mavu ben kodesh, the kodesh hakodoshim, it's acharon, acharon chaviv. It's always the letter shin, because shin is the second to last letter, which is moira on chavivos. Also, this you can understand the shin on the tefillin. Why is it v'ro kol amit kishem hashem igulam is a shin? Why the letter shin? Shakai. It's the chavivos of Klal Yisrael. V'ro kol amit kishem hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi ka'amu chal Yisrael goyecha baritz, the chavivos of Klal Yisrael is hidden in the letter shin, and this the letter that's on the tefillin, and this the letter that's used to refer to the guzma in Chazal. Okay, we'll stop here.